I'm Cheryl, and this is Sleep Tight Relax, a calming bedtime podcast for the young and young at heart. It's time to get cozy in bed and listen to tonight's story. Our sleep story tonight is the second and final part of The Remarkable Rocket. The fireworks are talking to each other when the rocket starts to cry. He is warned not to get himself wet, or he might not fly. But he doesn't listen to anything anyone says. And when midnight comes, they start to light the fireworks. All the fireworks are amazing, except the rocket, who is too wet to be lit. But before we continue with our story, let's take a moment to relax. We can practice our deep breathing anytime or anywhere. But before bed, let's first turn down the lights, get comfortable, and make sure that everything feels as it should. Now close your eyes if you'd like, and we'll begin with a few slow, deep belly breaths. Each time you breathe in, breathe all the way down into your belly. When you breathe in, be sure to slowly breathe through your nose. And when you breathe out, try to push all the air out of your lungs. Breathe in and breathe out. Notice how you feel when you take these deep breaths, how you get more and more relaxed with each breath, how the weight of your body sinks into the bed. Breathe in and breathe out. Throughout this time of relaxation and our story, thoughts of the day or the day to come may enter your mind. That's okay and normal. When they come, just try to return your attention to your breathing, to the story, and music. Breathe in and breathe out. Perfect. Let's continue with The Remarkable Rocket, Part 2. But the Roman candle and the Bengal light were quite indignant and kept saying, "Humbug! Humbug!" at the top of their voices. They were extremely practical, and whenever they objected to anything, they called it humbug. Then the moon rose like a wonderful silver shield, and the stars began to shine, and a sound of music came from the palace. The prince and princess were leading the dance. They danced so beautifully that the tall white lilies peeped in at the window and watched them. Then 10 o'clock struck, and then 11, and then 12. And at the last stroke of midnight, everyone came out on the terrace. "Let the fireworks begin," said the king. The pyrotechnist made a low bow and marched down to the end of the garden. He had 6 attendants with him, each of whom carried a lighted torch at the end of a long pole. It was certainly a magnificent display. Whiz, whiz, went the Catherine wheel as she spun round and round. Boom, boom, went the Roman candle. Then the squibs danced all over the place, and the Bengal lights made everything look scarlet. "Goodbye," cried the fire balloon as he soared away, dropping tiny blue sparks. "Bang, bang," answered the crackers, who were enjoying themselves immensely. Everyone was a great success, except the remarkable rocket. He was so damp from crying that he could not go off at all. The best thing in him was the gunpowder, and that was so wet with tears that it was of no use. All of his poor relations shot up into the sky like wonderful golden flowers with blossoms of fire. "Hooray, hooray," cried the court, and the princess laughed with pleasure. "I suppose they are saving me for some grand occasion," said the rocket. "No doubt that is what it means." And he looked more supercilious than ever. The next day, the workmen came to put everything away. "This is evidently a delegation," said the rocket. "I will receive them with dignity." So he put his nose in the air and began to frown severely, as if he were thinking about some very important subject. But they took no notice of him at all until they were just going away. Then one of them caught sight of him. "Hello," he cried. "What a bad rocket." And he threw him over the wall into a ditch. "Bad rocket? Bad rocket," he said as he whirled through the air. "Impossible. Grand rocket. That is what the man said. Bad and grand sound very much the same. Indeed, they often are the same." And he fell into the mud. "It is not comfortable here," he remarked. "But no doubt it is some fashionable watering place, and they have sent me away to recover my health. My nerves are certainly very much shattered, and I require rest." Then a little frog with bright jeweled eyes and a green mottled coat swam up to him. "A new arrival, I see," said the frog. "Well, after all, there is nothing like mud. Give me rainy weather and a ditch, and I am quite happy. Do you think it will be a wet afternoon? I am sure I hope so, but the sky is quite blue and cloudless. What a pity." "Ahem, ahem," said the rocket, and he began to cough. "What a delightful voice you have," cried the frog. "Really, it is quite like a croak, and croaking is, of course, the most musical sound in the world. You will hear our glee club this evening. We sit in the old duck pond close by the farmer's house, and as soon as the moon rises, we begin. It is so entrancing that everybody lies awake to listen to us. In fact, it was only yesterday that I heard the farmer's wife say to her mother that she could not get a wink of sleep at night on account of us. It is most gratifying to find oneself so popular." "Ahem, ahem," said the rocket angrily. He was very much annoyed that he could not get a word in. "A delightful voice, certainly," continued the frog. "I hope you will come over to the duck pond. I am off to look for my daughters. I have 6 beautiful daughters, and I am so afraid the pike might meet them. He is a perfect monster and would have no hesitation in eating them for breakfast. Well, goodbye. I have enjoyed our conversation very much, I assure you." "Conversation, indeed," said the rocket. "You have talked the whole time yourself. That is not a conversation." "Somebody must listen," answered the frog, "and I like to do all the talking myself. It saves time and prevents arguments." But I like arguments, said the rocket. I hope not, said the frog complacently. Arguments are extremely unpleasant, for everybody in good society holds exactly the same opinions. Goodbye a second time. I see my daughters in the distance. And the little frog swam away. You are a very irritating person, said the rocket, and very ill-bred. I do not like people who talk about themselves as you do. When one wants to talk about oneself as I do, it is what I call selfishness. And selfishness is a most detestable thing, especially to anyone of my temperament, for I am well known for my sympathetic nature. In fact, you should take an example from me. You could not possibly have a better model. Now that you have the chance, you had better avail yourself of it, for I am going back to court almost immediately. I am a great favorite at court. In fact, the prince and princess were married yesterday in my honor. Of course, you know nothing of these matters. There is no good talking to him, said a dragonfly, who was sitting on the top of a large brown bulrush. No good at all, for he has gone away. Well, that is his loss, not mine, answered the rocket. I am not going to stop talking to him merely because he pays no attention. I like hearing myself talk. It is one of my greatest pleasures. I often have long conversations all by myself, and I am so clever that sometimes I don't understand a single word of what I am saying. Then you should lecture on philosophy, said the dragonfly, and he spread a pair of lovely gauze wings and soared away into the sky. How very silly of him not to stay here, said the rocket. I am sure that he does not often get such a chance of improving his mind. However, I don't care a bit. Genius like mine is sure to be appreciated someday. And he sank down a little deeper into the mud. After some time, a large white duck swam up to him. She had yellow legs and webbed feet, and was considered a great beauty on account of her waddle. Quack, 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 she said. What a curious shape you are. May I ask, were you born like that, or is it the result of an accident? It is quite evident that you have always lived in the country, answered the rocket. Otherwise, you would know who I am. However, it would be unfair to expect other people to be as remarkable as oneself. You will no doubt be surprised to hear that I can fly up into the sky and come down in a shower of golden rain. I don't think much of that, said the duck, as I cannot see what use it is to anyone. Now, if you could plow the fields like an ox, or draw a cart like the horse, or look after the sheep like the collie dog, that would be something. My good creature, cried the rocket in a very haughty tone of voice, a person of my position is never useful. We have certain accomplishments, and that is more than sufficient. I have no interest in work of any kind, least of all with such work as you seem to recommend. Indeed, I have always been of the opinion that hard work is simply the refuge of people who have nothing whatsoever to do. Well, well, said the duck, who was of a very peaceable disposition and never quarreled with anyone. Everybody has different tastes. I hope, at any rate, that you are going to take up your residence here. Oh, dear, no, cried the rocket. I am merely a visitor, a distinguished visitor. The fact is that I find this place rather tedious. There is neither society here nor solitude. In fact, it is essentially suburban. I will probably go back to court, for I know that I am destined to make a sensation in the world. I had thoughts of entering public life once myself, remarked the duck. There are so many things that need reforming. Indeed, I took the chair at a meeting some time ago, and we passed resolutions condemning everything that we do not like. However, they did not seem to have much effect. Now I look after my family. I am made for public life, said the rocket, and so are all my relatives, even the humblest of them. Whenever we appear, we excite great attention. I have not actually appeared myself, but when I do so, it will be a magnificent sight. Ah, the higher things of life. How fine they are, said the duck. And that reminds me how hungry I feel. And she swam away down the stream, saying quack, quack, quack. Come back, screamed the rocket. I have a great deal to say to you. But the duck paid no attention to him. I'm glad that she has gone, he said to himself, and he sank a little deeper still into the mud and began to think about the loneliness of genius. When suddenly, two little boys with white smocks came running down the bank. This must be the delegation, said the rocket, and he tried to look very dignified. Oh, cried one of the boys, look at this old stick. I wonder how it came here. And he picked the rocket out of the ditch. Old stick, said the rocket. Impossible. Gold stick, that is what he said. Gold stick is very complimentary. In fact, he mistakes me for one of the court dignitaries. Let's put him in the fire, said the other boy. It will help to boil the kettle. So they piled the sticks together and put the rocket on top and lit the fire. This is magnificent, cried the rocket. They are going to let me off in broad daylight so that everyone can see me. We will go to sleep now, the boys said, and when we wake up, the kettle will be boiled. And they lay down on the grass and shut their eyes. The rocket was very damp, so it took a long time to burn. At last, however, the fire caught him. Now I am going off, he cried, and he made himself very stiff and straight. I know I will go much higher than the stars, much higher than the moon, much higher than the sun. In fact, I shall go so high that fizz, fizz, fizz. And he went straight up into the air. Delightful, he cried. I will go on like this forever. What a success I am. But nobody saw him. Then he began to feel a curious tingling sensation all over him. Now I am going to explode, he cried. I will set the whole world on fire and make such a noise that nobody will talk about anything else for a whole year. And he certainly did explode. Bang, 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 went the gunpowder. There was no doubt about it. But nobody heard him, not even the two little boys, for they were sound asleep. Then all that was left of him was the stick. And this fell down on the back of a goose who was taking a walk by the side of the ditch. Good heavens, cried the goose. It is starting to rain sticks. And she rushed into the water. I knew I would create a great sensation, gasped the rocket. And he went out. And that is the end of our story. Good night. Sleep tight.